You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
For the first time in so many years, since way before the pandemic, I have a live in-room guest on I Should Be Writing, and that's pretty much all we're going to talk about with Ursula Vernon. Actually, no, it's T. Kingfisher gossiping about Ursula Vernon behind her back.
I know all the dirt.
That's right.
Yeah.
On I Should Be Writing, Season 18, Episode 23.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.
And hi there, everybody. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I run it twice a week, live on Twitch, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and then I put it in the feed, so if you missed the live show, you can pick it up elsewhere. My name is Mer Lafferty. I've been doing this show since 2005 when I had sold nothing, and now I'm working on my eighth book, I think. Beside me, I have my dear friend who I have seen in person not nearly enough in the past 2 years, for obvious reasons. Ursula Vernon, a.k.a. T. Kingfisher, in the room. If you're watching this, you know that I'm doing a terrible job with the video, but,
we're doing our best with a small area that is also occupied by a dog. Paw down, sweetie.
Yes. And not a large enough green screen. So.
I just like doing that.
No, especially since you're reaching towards the other end of the thing. Yeah, so, yeah, this is my show, and I still talk about emotional hardships that you're going to have as a beginner, probably, that I still have, and will probably have for the rest of my life. But we talk about other things, too.
Your imposter syndrome never goes away. It just levels up.
That's right. And then you're going to worry whether your imposter syndrome is good enough or not.
Other people have way better imposter syndrome than me.
They do.
I can't even really complain about my imposter syndrome. It's, yeah.
No, because you need a shelf for your... a shed. I busted up my own joke, and I'm stealing the joke from someone in chat, so it doesn't even matter.
Is it really plagiarism if you fumble it?
I don't know legally where that stands.
It's more like a really awkward paraphrase.
We should call Marguerite and ask her and continue talking about this because it is so awkward. Because that's fun. Anyway, we usually start the show with me being accountable and talking about what I've been working on. And I got about 1,100 words today when we were writing together, and I did not update my entire large, for the year yet, so I don't have that. But yesterday, we could talk about this in a minute, too. Yesterday, I took a bunch of notes for a long time, and we want to talk about that later, but Ursula, you want to tell your word count today and how things are going for you?
Yeah, it was like 1,100 and... Wait, I have it here. It is going well. It is 1050 was... No, 1120.
Mm-hmm.
I am working on a book that was supposed to be due next month, and now... They said I can turn it in mid-May, which I am hoping I will not need that long, but since I am currently in the This Book is Terrible and Shames My Ancestors stage,
35,000 words?
44, but I've been insecure about it for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just seemed to be in the 40,000 word mark. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's the point where you're like, nothing is happening. This is boring. I'll throw in a murder. Oh, God, maybe the murder wasn't enough. Maybe the murder was boring. Maybe they're talking about the murder in a boring way. Oh, God, I should just quit my job and go become a medical test subject. And
rocks fall, everyone dies.
and I will die in a ditch next to Walmart.
No, you won't.
Because you will drag me to the Target, because you are a true friend.
That's right. Exactly. She will not die in a ditch next to Walmart on my watch. So, yeah, that was our output. And I don't think we've officially introduced you, which is my fault. I just said your name, and considering how much larger, more popular, hugely successful than I am, I assumed everybody knew you, so...
You're like the first lady of podcasting.
Does that mean... Anyway,
I think it means you're married to podcasting?
Yeah, I don't know. That's... Yeah. Don't tell Jim.
I think he knows by now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this is... You may know her as Ursula Vernon, who did a lot of kids' books, including Dragon Breath and Hamster Princess. And then you may know her from her adult books with... I forget what's out and what's not. Hidden Places is out.
The Hollow Places.
Hollow Places.
The
Sorry.
Twisted Ones yeah. is out. A whole bunch of Paladin romances called Paladin's Grace, Paladin's Strength, Paladin's Hope just came out. Book called Sword Heart, which is also a fantasy romance. Some fairy tale retellings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote some. Wizard's Guide
and,
to Defensive
Yeah,
Breaking.
I was about
yeah.
to say.
Yeah, that one. People liked that one. Yes.
The Wizard's Guide. Can you tell that story? No, tell the story. We'll do the show right.
Okay.
Tell the story of Wizard's Guide in a minute, even though you may have already done so on the stream. But they're going to love it because it's an awesome story. But, so yeah, we are to good news. The good news for me is that Ursula and I both felt confident and comfortable enough with the state of the world to have lunch together and podcast from the same room. And that's pretty much the best news I got. I'm pretty happy with that. Nothing good happening, nothing bad happening, just chugging along.
You know, being in your rut is a good place to be. Well, I love my rut. We say a rut is just, a groove is a rut with better PR.
That's right.
Yeah.
And better music.
Well, yeah, I guess that too.
Yeah. People in the chat are now talking about all the books of Ursula's they either have or want. So do you have any good news, Ursula? That you can share? You don't have to.
I'm trying to think. My tomato starts came up.
That's great. We'll hit the A button for the tomato starts.
Woo!
The A button. Now, if you were wearing headphones, you might hear the clapping, because there's probably still clapping. Unless the clapping messed up. I've messed up everything today.
I don't think Paladin's Hope is out in audio yet, but I believe it is on... it is being recorded. It has been bought, and it is coming out soon. Also, they're asking about my vaccination status, so...
I did not check, but it's that feeling of, we've been talking about, you know, we've been... Yay!
I have All my right. card.
We've been talking about, you know, we're still communicating as friends for the past 2 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it would be a really long lie for you to talk about... getting the shot, having gotten the shot, how the shot made you feel, the next shot, etc. That's a long, long grift.
I don't have the attention span for that.
With no payout. Yeah, I knew. You wouldn't have the attention span. So she said several times in the past year that she's been vaccinated, so I trust her. Also, you got into Worldcon.
I got into Worldcon? Yes. Oh yeah.
They let you into Worldcon. You had to be vaccinated to go to Worldcon and they checked.
Yes, it was a long con to get into the room with Rosa. Rosa is why I'm here. I mean, I like humor, but your dog's pretty awesome.
She is pretty awesome. And, you know, if you scritch me like that for, like, longer than 10 seconds, it'd probably start to get awkward. But she'll just let you do it all day.
Yeah, I love you, but not like that. We don't have that kind of relationship.
Yes, and we've had some follows. I'm sorry, missed that, too. Probled has followed. Welcome. Dr. Vinka, PhD, has followed. Welcome.
I know Vinka. I think they're one of mine.
Yeah, I believe. I don't normally get this many follows at once. I'm pretty sure all of these are yours. James V.
You'll love Mur. Mur is awesome.
Thank you. Welcome, James V. Welcome, Trick of the Light. Thank you all for following. I hope you enjoy what you have. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I hope you enjoy what we give you. There's that.
You'll take what we give you and like it.
Yes. Fire Rider submitted Flash Fic to Uncanny. So I either have a sale or contribute to Team Rejection soon.
Woo!
I have not...
It's so weird that my disembodied hand...
Yeah, sorry.
I'll stop.
Hi, Trick of the Light. Welcome. Glad you could make it.
I do not have a Twitch channel. I have occasionally thought that I could, like, stream myself playing, you know, Horizon Forbidden West or something, but then I thought... It would just be a lot of me muttering under my breath for hours. It's not that exciting.
You always say you're not that exciting. You always say that.
Kevin has a Twitch stream where has chicken cam most of the time. You can watch his chickens wander around.
Yeah, that's Kay Sunny in the chat. All right, same about contributing to Rejection soon or getting a sale maybe, but for an anthology. Well done, Space Valkyries.
Woohoo!
Good job. Team Aloy, yes, Kids Are Asleep is playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, oh, Zero Dawn?
Yeah, for the first time.
Oh, then I won't spoiler anything.
No, don't
but
spoil.
By the end of it, you will have a new character that you hate more than any other character in a video game have ever been hated. Ted Farrow.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Aloy. Like,
no,
what
Aloy's
Aloy
awesome.
Do to you?
No, but Ted Farrow, my God.
Monster.
Absolute monster. Worse than Handsome Jack in Borderlands.
I have theories about him, but I won't tell you off stream or something.
Okay.
I already hate Ted Farrow, so good times. Awesome. So yeah, that's the good news part. If you have any good news or you are listening and have good news and you want to share it with the next stream, email me with the topic good news and we'll talk about it on the next stream and hit the yay button for you. Avinka is very happy that Senpai noticed them, so. See, one of the best things about Ursula is that she does not get a big head for how utterly loved she is. Ursula, when you launched your Patreon, what were the rewards?
Nothing, and twice, and more, and nothing but more of it.
Yeah, $1 and $2 levels, nothing, and nothing but more of it.
Yes.
And your fans had a chance to support you, and I'm not going to ask you the number, but...
They get free ebooks now. When I self-publish a book, I put the ebook on there, too.
That's great. That's great. I'm just saying that you said... Everyone says start a Patreon, so I started a Patreon. I'm promising nothing, or you can pay me twice of that. Pay me twice for more nothing. And she still just... You got a good bit, I seem to remember.
I have lovely people who showed up. Well, I actually asked, do people want something? And lots of people were like, I have so much stuff, I don't want more stuff, I have no interest in stuff. Just keep making the stuff you make, and, you know, that's great. And they didn't even want, like, exclusive stuff. They wanted everybody to see it. It was remarkably generous-minded. Everyone was like, we want everybody to be able to see this, we just want to contribute to making it exist in the world. So it was very sweet.
Yes. Yeah, I get that a lot, too. And which is, I think is one of the reasons why it's hard for people with small or no audience to start a Patreon, because so many people just want to support you and what you create. It's hard to do that for strangers.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, stranger, give me money for absolutely nothing. Cool? Thanks.
So, yeah, it's like... Self-publishing a book is not advertising, or Kickstarter is not advertising.
We're not talking about that again. We talked about it last time.
Oh, did we? Oh, okay.
Well, I did.
Oh, all right.
If you have thoughts, you can say it, but...
There are people who are like, I wrote a book, so I'm going to do a Kickstarter so people discover me, and it's like, that's not how it works. Kickstarter tells you how many people already know you exist, not... It isn't... I mean, with certain findability, yeah, there's a few things, but for the most part, it's... It tells you how many people already know you and want your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes this sounds too much like Schadenfreude. I don't actually enjoy it, but it's more of to learn what not to do. I often look at Kickstarters that are about to end that have almost no funding. One of them was a book, and the book sounded really good. But the you know, when you have to fill out the things that could stand in our way, whatever they call it, possible roadblocks or something. Their comment was, I've never written a book, but I really believe in this project. And I'm like, okay, never mind. Bye-bye.
Failures are very important. Like, I remember Howard Taylor was talking about Kickstarters, and one thing he said was they had done a Kickstarter for something, and it did not sell. Mm-hmm. It didn't fund, or maybe it was another one that he knew of that didn't fund, and he was like, I am really glad to know that, because in the olden days, before Kickstarter, I would have thought this was a great idea, and I would have blown $10,000 of my own money and now be sitting on, you know, 10,000 keychains or whatever that people don't want. So the failure in terms of merch, at least, failure is really useful to tell you people don't want this thing, so don't make the thing. And yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Underpope has two more rejections. I have written it down, Underpope. I think I figured out what's wrong with the bot, only I didn't have time to fix it before we went live. So I'm going to be working on the bot sometime this weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to add all the new rejections, which I believe are up to 14 new ones now.
Go team soon. Rejection!
Go team rejection. We're almost up to 100. I'm very proud of y'all. It's awesome. It's not even a quarter of the way through the year yet, so it's just amazing.
I had a rejection this year. We can
congratulations. Woo! I'll mark you down on team rejection too. That's what you did.
Yep. It was I owe a publisher a book, and I wrote about a third of a book thinking that, yep, this will be the book they take, and I'm like, eh, not really working for us. I'm like, holy shit, now I have to come up with a new book.
Yep. Cause this guys, this is why I want you to get rejected now, so when that happens to you, it's not gonna, like, throw your entire view of yourself and your career into a tailspin. So, you've had enough, you were an artist before doing lots of writing, and you've had bad reviews and critiques and rejections,
oh, yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, I don't read my reviews, but, yeah. And critiques that, you know, were brutal, and in art school, I had a lovely, lovely professor who I think respected my desire to be absolute commercial schlock, or rather, respected my dedication to that while hating everything I did. I quite liked her, and she was like, one of the things she said to me, I did my final project, which was a series of, like, Boris Vallejo-style fantasy pinups. And this was a professor whose art form was drawing pastels of stargazer lilies over the top of brain scans of a cancerous brain. And, I think it was her brain. She was fine at the time. Like, they had gone in remission. It was fine. And also she was like this little Russian woman, and she had been in a concentration camp, and so there was nothing we could do to her that she gave even a tenth of a shit about. And she had this very thick Russian accent, and so she would look at herself, these are real turkeys. But she looked at my final project, and she was like, you knew I would hate this, but you did not phone it in, you just did it, and you did a good job, and you have a B, and take it out of my sight. And I respected that.
Yes, at least acknowledging that it's not to your taste, but it's still technically good art is, I think there are a lot of art teachers that don't do that. I always wondered when, like, the chef, all the food shows, when somebody makes something that the chef just personally doesn't like. Like, if I were a taster on one of those shows and somebody brought me the best curry in the world, I would not be thrilled.
You could bring me any cooked fish you want, and I would be like, I hate cooked fish.
Yes.
I'm sure this is fabulous, but I can't eat it. Yeah.
Yes. Coriander. Yeah. Forgot to say hold the cilantro on my dinner the other night.
Oh, dear.
I had dinner with John Scalzi. My husband and I went to his reading in Chapel Hill, and we had dinner, and that was a lot of fun. We got to hear a new unpublished story. We got to get books signed. And John is John. I took a picture of his signing line and that I was standing in, because I don't want to, like, abuse our friendship.
Right.
It feels kind of weird, like, saying, you know, I'll see him afterwards, and I'll just hand him books to sign, because I don't want to stand in the line, because I'm too good for it. But, so I was standing in line, and I took a picture of the line and said, new life goal is to have John Scalzi stand in my line. And he promised me he would.
So, I will stand in your line, Murr.
Thank you.
Although at least once I have stood behind your table and pretended to be your bodyguard.
Yes, you have. But I realized if I had John Scalzi and Ursula Vernon standing in my line, someone would figure out who you were and they'd be a lot more excited to see you guys than...
Yeah, but then somebody would figure out who Scalzi was. And,
that's what I mean.
I thought that was the general... Well,
yeah.
No, they don't want to see Scalzi. I'd just be the weirdo with the hat.
Yeah.
And yes, I do prefer raw fish. I will eat sushi all day long, but you cook it and I'm like, get that stuff away from me.
No, we just had raw fish, so... Yeah. I appreciate you making that distinction. That's one thing that was kind of cool. Scalzi read the first chapter of his book, and it was pretty awesome. I do want to say that I'm moving forward with the I Should Be Writing, I don't have a name for it yet, the book club. Scalzi has agreed to be one of the books. You've agreed to be one of the books,
yes,
right?
Yes. T. Yep. Kingfisher has agreed.
Yes, T. Kingfisher has
those
agreed.
Being the more grown-up books.
Yes, and the book club is not to talk about, you know, whether you enjoyed it or not, and it's not to tear it apart and critique it. It is to talk about craft on a level that we'd never do because we don't talk about spoilers. So if you want to talk about how someone crafted the end of a book, nobody wants to do that in an interview because they want people to go buy the book and find out for themselves. But I have never been able to talk about what happens at the end of a book. And so...
Obviously it should be called I Should Be Reading,
no,
yeah.
It's... I think it needs to be something to spoilers. Like, something about...
The all-spoiler book club?
Yeah, something like that. So I've got Ursula on deck. I'm not sure which are your books. You can weigh in on that if you want. She has two books out this year. We'll be doing Kaiju... Preservation Society by John Scalzi. We'll be doing, I can't remember what it is because I'm so confused. It's either One for All or All for One. People in the Discord, can you remind me? I don't know. If someone could find that, I need help with that. Because, yeah. Anyway, I like that, Vinka, but it's hard to say all... I don't know how to say that. I mean, how... It's a good look.
But how do you pronounce bracket?
Exactly. Thank you. Sorry, for the benefit of the podcast, or anybody not reading chat, the suggestion, which is really good, is bracket, spoilers, bracket. But I don't know how to say that, so that's the problem.
Maybe okay. It's like a glottal click or something.
No.
Spoilers.
No. No, no. No, excuse you.
That was Rosa, not me.
Yes.
Rosa is sneezing partly upside down with her front legs in the air and her back end laying like a normal dog. So,
yeah, every time she does that, I kind of want to do the, oh, paint me like one of your French models. I imagine her saying that when she falls asleep and she's just on the floor like this.
Yeah, we don't go.
Anyway,
girl.
Sure, oh, blame the puppy, yeah. Thank you, Kids Are Asleep. Yes, the link is in the chat. It's One for All by Lily Lanoff. I've approached her. She loves the idea. I have not planned anything yet. So those are at least three books we can count on. Scalzi's going to be hard to pin down, but he has agreed, just we got to find a right time for him. Beware, spoilers abound. That's getting closer.
Spoiler club. First rule of spoiler club is you don't talk about spoiler club.
I like it. Good ideas. I'm gonna marinate. No, Daniel, we're just being...
It's more of a blathering podcast, untethered from
yes.
direction at this point.
We're not really having direction. We're just talking overall about careers. So anyway, I did want to ask you what you thought. I put on Twitter this morning that when I'm trying to make a character for my book, it's like, it's a woman, probably looks a lot like me, from the U.S., and she lives in an apartment and has a job. All her friends like her, and her boss is nice, and then it's like, if I have to create something for a role-playing game or some other, just come up with a funny character, I can, like, knit you this vast landscape of character and backstory and antagonists and...
Immediately, she, you know, was the last survivor of a mercenary company that was wiped out by trolls and now,
yes.
you know, but, yeah, and... has had a religious experience in a druidic grove and is now dedicated her life to saving oxpeckers.
Yes.
That was actually the barbarian I played in my last campaign.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yes. So what I did yesterday is I took my legal pad and I went away from the computer and I sat and wrote for a long time. Because the weird thing about mysteries is that you have to bring in new people a lot. You have to bring in a lot of new people because there has to be someone new to die, someone new to kill them, and a whole bunch of new suspects.
Red herrings, yeah. Because if there's only, like, two other named characters, you know it's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oxpeckers are a species of bird that are parasitic on animals like the African buffalo and water buffalo, hence the name oxpecker. They eat ticks off the buffalo. We used to think it was a gorgeous, touching display of the symbioticism of nature because they would help clean the parasites off the buffalo. And then it turned out that actually they're waiting till the ticks are engorged because that way they get a much better meal and you're much less healthy if you have oxpeckers on you. Sometimes they just skip the middleman and drink the giraffe's blood or whatever. So anyway, you were saying?
Yeah. Still better than Monday's stream with the dead cat. All right, so anyway, the thing is I was, spent several legal pad pages, and when I was done, I was tired. And I was like, I still have to write today. And then I realized that I didn't have a word count to add, but I knew I could come into the next writing time with a lot more confidence.
Oh, yeah. It's like outlining is writing. Even if you don't have a word count at the end, you have an outline, if you're a person who outlines.
It just feels weird doing it in the middle of the project. Like, I have to stop my momentum of word count to make sure I understand who all these characters are. So,
yeah.
But no, we've established notes are writing, so go us.
Yes. With the caveat that it is a slippery slope of it is okay if notes are writing, but on the second week of just making mood boards about your characters,
yes.
you're probably kind of avoiding writing.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to ask you about some various things. What do you think about the Great Publishing Exodus?
Okay, I have actually been... I just got back from the Jonathan Colton cruise.
That's right.
And so I had no signal on the boat. Like, I would check, you know, get Twitter when we got into port. And so I missed most of it, but apparently it's... If you're a good editor, you're not being paid enough, so you leave publishing and go become a medical test subject and because it pays more kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it publicists I saw? Yeah, publicists leave. I had a great publicist for a year, or like 2 years. She was fabulous, and then she was like, okay, I'm going off to do this. It's been great. And then I had a new publicist for 1 month who was like, hi, I'm your publicist. And then 2 weeks later was like, hi, I've accepted a job as a personal assistant to, like, a extremely wealthy family somewhere, so it's been real. And, yeah, publicists are hard.
Yeah, nobody from my publisher was on that list. Although
was there a list?
Well, no, there were a lot of people who left on that Friday, and it had nothing, I don't think any of them had anything to do with each other. Just one woman went public, and other people were like, well, I quit my job today, too. And enough people did it to where it started to be rather, if you don't know what we're talking about, a couple of Fridays ago.
And I only barely know what we're talking about.
A couple of Fridays ago, a woman posted a letter on Twitter, which was her exit from the business because she had been an assistant forever, and she was told that she should not expect to move up until she had 5 more years of experience. This was the day that her latest acquisition had gotten on the New York Times bestseller list, and she was still doing all the work an assistant was doing. And apparently, older publishers don't know jack about technology, and so now that burden is coming on assistants as well.
That bit doesn't surprise me at all.
No. In 98, I was an assistant to somebody who was a big tech guy. But because he didn't read his email, I had to print out all of his emails and hand them to him. Because, not because he didn't understand it, but just because he tuned out email. So,
that's a lot.
I'm very sorry, guys.
Haha, I'm going to be Merle Lafferty for a few minutes. Hi, everyone. No. I'm Merle Lafferty, and I'm awesome, so you should buy all of my books. Because I, Merle Lafferty, write very good books. I think the jig is up.
Okay. All right, we're switching.
Oh,
switching. Now I'm in the hole. Yay! Hello from the hole. Oh boy, thank you.
No problem.
Wow. Does anybody have anything they want us to talk about or answer questions? We can, but I said you were going to tell a story.
Yes, it was about Wizard's Guide.
That's right. If you don't know, which you should know, Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking was a book Ursula self-published in 2020. And last year, it won every award it was up for. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, every single one. Andre Norton, Lodestar, Mythopoeic.
Locus.
Locus, yep.
Dragon.
Mm-hmm. That's right, the Dragon Award. So.
Yeah.
Kids Are Asleep Wants to Summon Evil Myrrh. Okay. So,
do we have to light candles?
No, I gotta push a button, but I'm not sure if that'll work. So you, you tell the story of that, and I'll try to set up Evil Myrrh.
Well, I don't know how it works as a story. I had sold it to a publisher once upon a time. I had the same publisher who published my kids' books, and they bought it, and all was good, and then they did not know what to do with it, and they tweaked, and they changed things, and it was too dark, and then it wasn't dark enough. And then they needed, and then the voice was wrong, and then maybe they needed to age the character down, or maybe they needed to age the character up. They didn't know. And so the editor probably would not have bought it left to her own devices, but they were trying to get it because Disney had, like, made a noise at me, and they were like, oh crap, no, don't let Disney have her, we will take everything she has. And with the end result that we sat on this book, like, years. They sat on the book trying to change it and figure out what they were doing with it. And finally, as sometimes happens, they were just like, we don't know what we're doing. And I was like, can I have the book back and I will give you a different book? And that was fine. I gave them a different book, which was Castle Hangnail. They published it. Everyone was happy, except for the marketing people, because Castle Hangnail flopped completely, which is a bummer because I really like that book. Years went by while my agent pitched Wizard's Guide to other people, and every single publisher was like, we like it, but this isn't the book that we want to start publishing Ursula Vernon with, because the Dragon Breath books were what really sold, so they were like, we want something like Dragon Breath first, and then once we have that, maybe we'll publish this other thing. Well, I didn't want to do more Dragon Breath because I was still doing Dragon Breath and my arm would fall off if I had to pick up a second series and illustrate it. So, eventually, several years later, like, I wrote most of that book in, what, 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Was when it was finished. And finally in 2020, I was like, hey, Helen, to my agent, can I self-pub this now? Because we're not getting any bites. And she really tried. And also, everyone is at home and talking about sourdough, so this is a great time for it. And she said, yeah. And wow, damn. Sometimes books are like waiting for their moment, I think, because that one just went. And it was pretty wild, and I was not expecting the response. And I am really glad that it was able to come out when it did and have its basically perfect moment to land. Ironically, I wrote another book, sold it to the same publisher, and they have just sold it back to me because they couldn't figure out what to do with it again. And so they probably later this year or early next year, there will be another kid's book from T. Kingfisher that's about a girl whose family are painters and their paintings are magical, and a evil mandrake root that with a stick of magic charcoal is going to break in and start doing terrible things. And yeah, it just needs to be edited because I'm putting back all the bits my editor made me take out because they were too dark. And how does Ursula's agent feel about her self-publishing? Just wondering. My agent is for it. I told her up front I want to self-publish a thing way back when. She was like, sounds great. She had tried to pitch it around. It was Nine Goblins, which was a weird-ass little novel and novella, whatever. And she's like, yeah, people like it, but they don't know how to sell it, so why don't you self-publish it? And later on, I have just continued everything that that isn't obviously going somewhere. If no one clearly wants it, I'm like, and I want to finish it, I'm like, I'll self-publish this.
You'd think they would have learned by now.
I don't know. The nice thing my agent does is, first of all, she handles all of the rights issues. So if they're going to do a audiobook or sell the foreign rights, which they frequently do, that all goes to her. I'm like, Helen, this is yours. So she still gets her cut from that. And she also goes into the contracts that I have with publishers and specifically carves out exemptions, because lots of publishers have a non-compete clause. Basically, we don't want a book coming out within 2 or 3 months of our book, so that it doesn't like step on the sales, because I think it will. I question that, but anyway. And she'll go in and be like, okay, so exempt from all of this are, you know, the following books by name, anything in this series, and whatnot. And it's great. She's one or two publishers she's kind of had to fight with, but Nightfire, who I'm working with now, the editor is a fan of the Paladin romances and is like, yeah, absolutely, more Paladin romances, put them out whenever.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
All right, so Evil Moore is not set up for this interview thing first, so we'll have to get a little creative, but we're writers, so that's what we do. Ursula, would you like a mustache?
Sure. Can I have the blue and green
yes,
one?
Yes, whichever right. one. I'm going to go for the stylish...
Is there sticky
yes.
backness? Okay.
Yes. So, first, to summon Evil Myrrh and Evil Ursula, we have to put on the mustache.
I don't know what Evil Ursula is like.
Evil Ursula is probably a little bit like Evil Myrrh. Actually, I think Evil Ursula would probably say what you would do in a situation, and we've already established that no one should ever do that. So, if you have any questions for Evil Moore or Evil Ursula, let us know now. I'm going to be, just realize your green is being keyed out. So.
Oh, yes. I was wondering why it was black. Yeah. Yes, my nostrils have become extremely large. Please make a note of it.
All right. But I will see if I can do the random number generator, see if that'll work. Okay. Nope. It just summons Evil Moore. Okay. So we can answer the questions that are there.
All right.
Do you find it easier anxiety-wise to finish a first draft before you pitch it, or do you like to pitch just an idea so you have some certainty? Well, I've discovered that pitching an idea and selling it is the best thing in the world, because it's easy money, and then they'll take whatever you give them.
And so we're lying now, because we're evil.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's opposite day kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's very, and you know, you won't have to go back and forth with the editor and them saying like, this isn't what I expected because it's not like what you pitched. And you're just like, I just gave you a paragraph, man. Like it or not, this is what you get. So yeah, that's what I do. Recommended.
I actually use a magnetic poetry kit to do all of my pitches. I had to get one of the specialty ones that had words like murder in it, but I just assemble those, take a photo, and sometimes if I'm feeling very creative, I will cut letters out of a magazine, like a ransom note, assemble my pitch that way, and then I send it directly to my editor, not my agent.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Do you also threaten their children in the ransom note kind of thing?
I mean, if you've already got the letters cut out, you might as well.
Exactly.
Why waste energy?
Why waste letters? Yes. How do you do a single elevator pitch in a single story building? You just go up and shout like a 2-word phrase and run.
If it's got a basement, then you can hold the editor in the basement with you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the lights off.
Ideally, you're going to need dark vision goggles for that, though.
Sure, but you're comfortable with the basement because you went down there earlier. You're not going to go into a basement with an editor unprepared.
No, of course. You go in with your non-elevator pitch. Actually, that doesn't matter nearly as much as the night vision goggles. Yeah. You don't have to prepare the pitch as long as you got the goggles.
Exactly.
After all, where are they going? You can just stand there and be like, so it's like Steven Universe meets Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh. You should write that.
Yes.
Yay!
Yes, going in a basement with an unknown editor is how you pitch your true crime novel.
I swear to you, if you go to Twitter right now and you say Steven Universe meets Silence of the Lambs, some editor is going to be, like, hurting themselves to message you.
Did I tell you how I sold my latest horror novel?
I thought you sold your first horror novel like that.
Yeah, so funny story.
Oh, shoot.
Hang on. I'm on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I might just have to post this podcast and say it's got not safe for work language.
Oh, crap. Did I swear?
Yeah, a couple times.
Oh.
You F-bombed. Again.
Sorry.
It's okay. Yes, Catwood, kids are asleep summoned Evil Mur, so we're answering questions in the chat based on evilness. No, Evil Mur does not like puns. So, does writing a pigeon blood make it easier sell? Does it have to be your blood? That really depends on the editor.
Yeah, a lot of editors think using other people's blood is a sign of lack of commitment. Mm. But on the other hand, and this is why it is important to get your pitch down to a couple pithy sentences so that you don't die of blood loss. What is the best fountain pen for writing in blood? I'm going to have to defer to Kevin on that one. He's really the fountain pen guy. I prefer to use a Pilot, F7 or whatever, not a fountain pen, but it is very hard to fill the little cartridge with blood because it clots up so quickly.
Ursula ruined a vampire tour of New Orleans by contradicting
the... It wasn't even evil Ursula.
It wasn't even evil Ursula. It was Ursula ruining because everything the... tour guide said was wrong.
So we were on this tour in New Orleans, which Mur had paid for, so I felt extra guilty. It was a research trip for her fabulous book, Ghost Train to New Orleans, which you should, of course, be reading, and or have read already. And we had to do tourist stuff. So she booked a vampire tour, and the guy who showed up was wearing, like, a poofy pirate shirt and a whole bunch of silver jewelry and crosses and whatnot, and immediately said that vampires had been popularized by Bram Stoker,
mm-hmm.
We
questioned. We were like, what was that? Is it Bram Stoker? He wasn't laughing. It wasn't a joke. We were the only ones going, did he really say that?
Yeah, we assumed that was his porn name. And then later on, and I was trying to be good because I was like, this is a fun tour and other people are here for fun. And then he got into the how the Comte de Saint-Germain would sit and drink, you know, red liquid from a bottle, and it was always red wine. And then when they opened the bottles, oh my God, it was all blood. And I, at that point, I lost it. And I was like, look, if you had a bottle full of blood, unrefrigerated, in New Orleans, it would just be a scab in a bottle. And he's like, not if you add a little alcohol to it. And I'm like, I nearly went off. I was about to go into platelets and how they work. And then I was like, no, I'm being good. Other people paid for this and do not want to hear me derail this blithering idiot's idea of how blood works. But I did traumatize briefly a phlebotomist later on, the next time I had a blood draw, to say, okay, look, I was on this vampire tour and I said it wouldn't work like that. And she's like, no, you need like a centrifuge or something to make that work. Yeah, so, and then I was like, no one ever asked this, right? She's like, no, no one has ever asked me that before. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that.
If you don't know, that's one of Ursula's superpowers, is she has to come up with a new question to ask a doctor to throw them off and make them say, and then, you know, and it's a question they've never had before. And you have recently spread to gun sellers, so that was fun.
Well, that was like 5 years ago, but yes.
Sure. That's recently, right?
Sure. Have you always been interested in birds, or was there some particular event or bird that sparked your interest?
That's your question. I'm going to check on the dogs.
Okay, apparently evil Ursula is also a bird watcher, so I'll just say I was had a house that was on or rented a house that was on a greenway and had a bird feeder, and there were just so many birds, and I was like, I don't know what they are. I have to look. And so and that is the dangerous question, is to look and go, what is that bird? That's the last point where you have where you can get out. Once you buy a book, then it's all over. And then pretty soon you're like, going, I need decent binoculars, not ones that weigh 20 pounds. I have always liked nature. I was, you know, the small child who had stuffed animals instead of dolls, things like that. So, you know, but birds were, I can sort of tie back to that very specific event.
Wow, I came in at the very end.
Yes.
The one case you probably don't want to lick the rib to help with flow on that one.
Yes, Kevin was going through what fountain pens to use for blood.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So, we should probably remove Evil Murray's Evil Ursula.
All right.
Do not listen to them. They have
go
nothing.
Make a mood board. That counts as writing.
You can keep that if you want.
Oh,
I'm sure you
kind.
Want to. We should probably stop the podcast here because we've been going for a while, and then we can continue with the bar con if y'all want to keep hanging out. And Ursula doesn't need to go home at this moment. But
I feel like we haven't given them any bang for the buck. Have we said critical things?
I don't know.
Should we go answer the questions they actually asked as like good mer?
Sure. I guess we can keep going. Yeah.
We could stop there. I just, you know, didn't want to make anyone sad.
Yeah. remember, you can get all of this banter if you support the Patreon, or you can show up live. You don't have to support the Patreon at all. Show up live or support the Patreon, you'll get the whole thing. But anyway, the question about the pitch, all of that was true, but I sold on pitches and everything sucked after that. And it was very hard for me. And I think I want to sell books like you sell books, which is I want to write a good chunk of it and then send it in and see if they like that, because I'll have a better sense of how it's doing. But,
yeah. I have to write like 10,000-15,000 words at least. And then I usually just send that in. If it's a publisher that I have like a contract with, like, Tor was all, we want two books and two novellas. And I was like, great, sure. Tor was three books and one novella. And they had the novella already. That was what I'd sent in. And so then it was like, okay, here's 15,000 words. Do you want me to finish that and that be one of the books? Do you want me to finish this and it be one of the books? And We went through a couple of those. Like, there was, like, one or two where she was like, yes, I definitely want that one. And then others, she was like, do you have anything else? Or one where she was like, it's good, but it's really sad. Maybe, I don't know, it's just, let's put a pin in that one because it's too sad. I'm like, okay, that's fair. Other things, I will send my agent, like, 15,000 words and be like, hey, can you find somebody to pay me to finish this? And I don't write cover letters. I am told people write cover letters.
I don't think you need to once you have an agent.
I hope they write the cover letters. Yeah.
Or they just, like, email and say, hey, this is the newest thing from Ursula Vernon. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, they handle all of that.
Yeah.
And whether I send it to my agent or to the editor is entirely up to where we are at that moment. Like, some things I'm just sending straight to the editor, and some things I CC my agent, of course. And some things I send to my agent first, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It varies a lot by person. I have only had one situation where a editor who I had not worked with before, I had been orphaned, which is a thing that happens when the editor who bought your book leaves.
Oh, they've heard about this from me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. It happens to everybody. I've been orphaned twice. Actually three times. One book was orphaned twice. And then another book was only orphaned the one time. But the book that had been orphaned, the new editor asked, they had a right of first refusal on my next novel, and which is, you have to send it to us first so we can say, no, we don't want that, or yes, we want it. And he wanted an outline, like an actual formal outline, which had never been a thing anyone had asked me for before. And I was like, holy fuck, I have to figure out how the book goes. Why would I bother to write it if once I know how it goes? This is why I don't write outlines usually. But I wrote the outline, and we sent in several chapters, and like 15,000 words you got. And then after sitting on it for weeks, my agent finally pings him, and he's like, well, she was supposed to send me three chapters, and it was like, you got 15,000 words.
Just go in there and make a line break.
Just write the word chapter where you want. Are you serious right now? And it was not a good fit for a lot of reasons. So, yeah. But different editors want different things. Some of them... And once you have an established track record and they know you can end a book, you can get away with a lot more. Because, like... Ending a book is a different skill than starting a book. I've started tons of books. Mm-hmm. I've only ended, like, 30 or 40. So, yeah. Yeah.
Only ended. Only 30 or 40.
A bunch of them were kids' books that were, like, 15,000 words, though.
That's true. Yeah. Those were hard because of the illustrations.
Yes.
Yes. Only. Yes.
Look... Unless you are Neal Stephenson, you cannot sell a book if you can't end it. Neal Stephenson can sell books where he doesn't end them. I don't know how he does it.
He's Neal Stephenson.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everyone's swooning by the end. They don't just realize it's over. They'll just, like, keep just being in awe. I don't know.
Cryptonomicon, I seriously got to the end and thought there had been a misprint and they left a chapter out. Like, I'm, like, going, what? Not that I'm still bitter.
No, of course not. There's, not at all.
Yeah. Was there another question we needed to answer?
I don't think so. I believe Phased Out was kidding with the elevator thing and blood, no.
Elevator pitches I've never been good at, I have tried bad comps before. Oh, right. I was going to tell you about selling a book on Twitter.
Right.
Okay, so the first book I sold on Twitter, I said I've just made the worst elevator pitch in history. It was for a novel. It was The Andy Griffith Show meets The Blair Witch Project. And everyone laughed. And then a nice editor was in my DMs going, does this book exist? And is it for adults? And I said, yes.
If someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Well, it did exist, and it was, you know, I had written 10 or 15,000 words. Actually, I think I was up to like 40 or 50 on that one. And so I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And sent it to her, and she was like, okay, it'll probably be a while before I get back to you. And then like 2 days later, she's like, so I finished that, and I wanted to sleep on top of my refrigerator last night. And there was a weird sound from my child's room, and I thought, yes, take him, not me. So I'm like, okay, so I guess you want the book then. That was the time I sold the book on Twitter. But then later on, the horror novel, most recently, that I was pitching, and I had tried to pitch the one, and it didn't, and it just wasn't what they were after. Then I watched Midsommar on One Night and live tweeted it. And was just like, I hate all these people. I want all of them to die. Do not invite grad students to your cult meeting. This is very pretty. Okay, yeah, no, everyone needs... Oh, look, they did the Blood Eagle. Hot damn, that's a classic. And the next day, I have an email from my editors at Nightfire going, yeah, we were reading this, and we thought, wow, we'd love to see an Ursula take on Midsommar. You want to write that book? And I was like... Okay, you realize it's going to involve like two middle-aged bird watchers tripping over a cult in the middle of rural Oregon, right? And they were like, that sounds fantastic. So that's the book I have to write once I finish this one.
I'd like to announce that 12 minutes has gone by since Ursula tweeted, I just accidentally pitched a book as Steven Universe meets Silence of the Lambs, and it's gotten 173 likes, 22 comments, 12 retweets, 174...
I don't want to, like, sit here and, like, check Twitter.
No, that's why I'm doing it. You were talking.
Yes, so.
And I just want to see if there are any editors in the thing that people are...
I would have to actually...
Would you fusion with me? I'd fusion with me.
I have to, like... Are the Shattered Gems still screaming, Steven? That's a pretty good one. I would have to actually finish watching Steven Universe, because all I've ever seen is the one episode you showed me where the kids' fingers turn into kittens.
Oh, yeah, the cats.
Yeah,
cats.
I hear it's great. Yes.
The finger cat episode or the whole thing?
The show.
Yeah, it is great.
So, yes. Anyway, yeah. No one has bought it yet. So,
12 minutes have passed and no one's bought it yet.
Yeah, really, Murr, you've gotten, like, all the,
Yeah, so, Fingercast, Steven Universe, is an excellent show with a lot of depth, but it's for kids and it does kids stuff, and as Steven learns that he can change his shape, obviously... The thing he wants to do is turn his fingers into cats. So he turns all five fingers into little cat heads. And it's got a little bit of body horror involved.
Not like tons. Not I mean, they're kitties. Yeah. They're cute. But yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I should really watch the rest of the show, but...
It's a good show.
But we only have one big TV in the bedroom, and I've been playing Forbidden West.
Yeah, well...
You know, I hate Ted Farrow more than I am curious, but once it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the which book was this? Andy Griffith's show, Blair Witch Project, was The Twisted Ones. And, oh, does T. Kingfisher have any hot gossip about Ursula Vernon that she wants to share? I hear that at night she sometimes wanders around the house without pants on, drinking tequila out of a tumbler. It's good tequila, though.
I believe you.
Woman's got good taste in tequila.
Mm-hmm. She does. Numbers Ninja is continuing the plot, and then they envelop his whole body, and he becomes an Akira-like glob, excuse me.
Also, I think that Ursula Vernon is maybe having an affair with my husband.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You really want to talk about this in public?
I'm not ashamed, Murr. It's been done
it's
to
not,
me.
It's not a shame thing. It's a... You should probably tell Kevin you're on to him sometime in person. Not on the stream.
No, you're right. That's very Amanda Palmer of me. I'm sorry, Internet. I'm sorry, Murr. Should I not have said... Oh. Oh, dear.
I've killed Mer.
Well, thank you all for coming to I Should Be Writing with Mer Lafferty, who is now...
You said it! You went there! It's worse than pushing the man over into the guacamole!
What?
Wow. Okay. Who's got writing questions?
We can end the podcast. Or do you want to end the podcast on something that isn't... Anyway, writing is good. You should do it. It's an indoor job with no heavy lifting.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I need a drink. I'm not driving.
Top three tips for writing middle grade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, that's a great question. Use bigger words than you think. Do not talk down to the kids. If you are talking down to them, they can smell it. It is, your editor will pretty much define what you can get away with. Some editors are like, yeah, throw in the blood and guts and gore, kids love that. Some editor let Animorphs through, for God's sake. And then some editors are like, no, this is a bit much, we don't want any violence, your hamster can't solve her problems with arson, even though it would have been appropriate. So, yes, you have to make sure you are a good match with the editor in terms of what you can get away with. The sad truth is the kids would like a lot more violence, gore, darkness, scary, whatever, than the parents and the editors are comfortable with knowing they want. So,
yeah, it's, I'm not going to say anything, like, too detailed or embarrassing, Numbers Ninja, but as they were growing up, it was that whole, like, the things I thought would be scary were not. And there were other things that upset them in media, but not the things that, as adults, we say scary. It's just, I don't think people who say the kids don't like blood and guts and violence, I don't think they have kids. Or if they do, they really want to protect them.
Yes.
Instead of just see what they like.
And I will say that it depends. There is a point in a parent's personal journey where they cannot handle anything with violence against children. And that is a really yep. bad time to be an editor or an agent for children's book authors. Because, like, I had my agent say at one point, she had just given birth, and I handed her Minor Mage, and she was like, this is a good book, and I will probably be able to represent it later. I cannot right now, because the first scene where he's being run out of town by a mob and he wishes his mother was there just guts me, and I can't handle this. And she was as good as her word. She tried to pitch it later. She has sold the foreign rights when I self-pubbed it, but that one bit, she was just like, I cannot handle this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fine. So it's, yeah, these things happen. There are lots of, I have occasionally, I have, like, one book, I think, that has a mention of infanticide off to the side. And it's as one of the bodies that the protagonist encounters. And the, I did not, I think, adequately trigger warn or content warn for that one. Because, and it's all parents who are upset. It's never, anyone younger does not care. But the, for the most part, but parents that would, it's like, okay, that hits people where they live.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of, you are trying to write for kids, but you are also having to write things that get past the people who are providing the content for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was an excellent answer. But it is weird kind of trying to balance, because if you know it's going to be a hit, like you've editors never want to hear this, but I'm saying if you gave it to a kid and got their opinion on it, then that would be, that still wouldn't sell it to the editor. On the other hand, I heard that New Coke was very popular in taste tests, only when you replaced regular Coke with New Coke, that's when everybody got mad. But, like, on its own, it was just fine. I don't know if that applies, but that just came to my mind. Have there been any other questions?
Have you written more on the Angel Demon murder mystery? there was a lot more than what I actually read on the ship. It's my latest thing I'm noodling around with. It's a retired devil and a retired angel, and they solve crimes in the village. kind of thing, and it's a lot of fun to write. I had written a good bit more of it. It's just I had to stop reading because I was at the 45-minute mark, and I had somehow exactly hit the like point where we're going to solve the murders ourselves, and was like, okay, shut up now and be done. Yeah. So I have not added to the manuscript since leaving because I had to drive across like a bunch of states, and then once I was home, there are books that I have actually been paid for that they would kind of like by a certain time. Thank you. So I have been working on those, but I would like to write a lot more on that one because it's a lot of fun. It is fun being those characters. When I can get it going, it just kind of flows.
Right.
Yes, that is the Sith Paladin fic with the serial numbers filed off.
Well, yeah, Daniel, they probably wouldn't like us just handing books to random kids. I'm saying that you know, your own kids or kids in your family or your stepkids or something, not just, you know, on the street. Hey, kid, you want a story? It's got violence. Hey. Check it out.
Yeah, I feel that might not go...
No, they don't like that.
Is it hard to find a balance between working on what your editors need you working on and what you want to be working on in that moment? It was initially to find a balance for me, but fortunately I have serious ADHD, so I could write... I would for a while, if I have a tight deadline, I will use the thing I want to write as a reward for the thing I have to write. So it's like, okay, if you write 500 words on the thing you have to write, you can write as much as you've thought of the thing that you want to write. So I would, like, get out my 500 words and would maybe be, like, pulling teeth, but I would get it done. And then I would be like, all right, now I can go write this other thing. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And, yeah, when it's flowing and I'm really excited about something, that's a good time to get it down because you only get that kind of joy and energy occasionally. And I hate to waste it.
Excellent.
Jane Yolen saying you should use all the big words in kid books because kids will look them up, but not so much in grown-up books. Do you find this is true in your experience? I don't know, because I don't know how many words adults are looking up in my books. They never tell me about it.
You did put a Joseph Campbell reference in one of your Dragon Breath books.
I did.
I remember that.
Yes. The one I'm proudest of, though, is that Wendell the Iguana wakes up screaming, "There are four lights." And no one caught it anywhere in the editor's staff, and I am just...
All right, now I'm embarrassed. Yeah. I don't catch it.
Star Trek Next Generation, Picard is being tortured by the Cardassians, who wants him to say there are five lights, even though there's only four lights. And so, and Wendell's having a nightmare. And so there are four lights is like a kind of a meme. And mm-hmm. Picard, being tortured by... Cardassians, yes.
Yeah. Didn't you say Picard?
I don't know what I said anymore. The words that come out of my mouth frequently don't, like, stop and punch in at my brain.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we should stop.
Maybe we should. We'll just end it here. Everybody listening to the feed, you got a full episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
A full and a half, I think.
Yeah, yes. And... Anyway, you've been listening or watching to I Should Be Writing. This has been a more chaotic one because we have had the embodiment of lawful chaos, Ursula Vernon, a.k.a. T. Kingfisher, as a guest on the show live in my house. And that's why the backgrounds are so messed up, if you're new here. We had time to set everything up but not actually make it look good.
And also why I am now Merle Lafferty and she is T. Kingfisher.
Oh, that's right. We didn't switch the names.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had to... There were dogs. Anyway, yes. Thank you very much. And if there's new followers, Quack Quack Honk, thank you for the follow. Opalus and Potato, thank you for the follow. Callie, if I didn't get you, thank you for the follow. Problet, I don't know if I've thanked people, but if you're a new follower of mine, who came from Ursula's fandom, welcome. Very glad to have you here. Because not all of my podcasts feature Ursula. Not all my podcasts are this chaotic, but
sometimes she's very well organized
I still think they're fun, but anyway, I stream live on Twitch Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and then it's put in the it's in the feed for the podcast the following week, and you can see my blog and show notes and all of my books and the upcoming book Station Eternity coming out in October at merverse.com. You got to promote yourself here.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't swear that time. I almost did.
That ship sailed. Just don't worry about it.
Sorry. Nettle and Bone comes out next month in April. What Moves the Dead comes out after that in July. That's my retelling of The Fall of the House of Usher. And then God only knows what happens later in the year. I might have another book out. I will certainly put a book out, but I also think that maybe a publisher is putting a book out. Someone's putting a book out later in the year.
Yeah. I need to read the horror one because I've read Nettle and Bone, but
I could probably send you a...
Probably.
Yeah.
I just want to figure out which one should be in the book club is what I'm thinking. So if you have a preference, that's fine. But
I mean, Nettle and Bone is longer and not horror. And some people can't do horror.
True.
There's some creepy stuff in Nettle and Bone.
Yeah.
But I think it's more just interesting. Yes, there will be audiobooks of all of them. But I always think that the horror things are just kind of interesting. And mm-hmm. then, yeah.
And then someone tells you I couldn't go to sleep. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, did you give your URL?
Red Wombat Studio. Or find me on Twitter at Ursula V. Kingfisher and Wombat. Yeah, I live on Twitter, so you can find out all kinds of things that you maybe didn't need to know about me, but...
That's never stopped you before. All right, thank you guys. Thank you for your patience with our fun hiccups here and there. Have a good weekend, and I will see you all on Monday when I do an AMA and probably more Stardew Valley and not actually anything that's unexpectedly upsetting or terrifying, but...
I don't know, man. I've heard things about Stardew Valley. It's dark.
It's not little girl murdering a cat dark. So, with that in mind...
They don't even have that in Forbidden West.
I know.
There's some other shit in there. Oh, stop talking.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support.
Doctor Who.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.